Thanks again to everyone who's read. It's open to meeting, and take this opportunity to welcome those who have joined us since we first started. Welcome to any visitors, and a huge welcome to any newcomers that might be in the room with us. It's going to help us. We hope you're going to be encouraged to keep coming back. So we do have a speaker this evening. It's Tony from Western Australia. He's coming to share with us. Tony's been a member of our groups for a while. We celebrated a milestone of recovery just recently, and I admire this man, what his battles and his struggles that he's gone through, and his honesty, and sometimes brutally, that, you know, about where he's at and what's going on in his life, and how he tries his best to apply this program to his life on a daily basis. So lots of respect. And with that, I'm not going to say much more other than to introduce you to Tony, who's going to share his experience, strength and hope with us for 40-45 minutes from his Antipodean stronghold in Western Australia. The floor is yours, Tony. Please jump in and share with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I'm Tony, great recovering addict.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I just killed his other computer, and yeah. Yeah, well, I honestly don't know where to start, I just start at the beginning. I spent a lot of my young, very young life down on the south coast of New South Wales, south of Sydney, to alcoholic addict parents. Abusive alcoholic addict parents. I just got to turn this background noise down a bit. Sorry about this. I keep on losing the wrong mouse. I had a rough childhood. Being beaten by my parents all the time. I'd go to school, black and blue, and I'd have to say that I got an argument with my brother, a fight with my brother, and yeah, he's the one that done it, and I used to have to lie about that because I wasn't allowed to tell the truth and let them know that it was my parents that were doing it, and I found it hard, really hard. I think some of the teachers knew that I was lying, but without me telling the truth, nothing could be really done. But back then, nothing could be really done about it anyway. Then when my parents finally split up, Mum took me and my two brothers and fucked off and gallivanted around here, there, and over the next 2 years, I went to, 7 different schools in 2 years. And it took its toll. I started pinching my mum's Valium. Hating the school, sharing with some of the other kids, and but then I found pot, and but this time we'll live in here in Western Australia, and I'll smoking pot at school, a little bit of dealing, and then Mum decided to move again, and we moved up north of Perth, and up into the northern suburbs. And when I changed school again, I really enjoyed the school that I got transferred. I got transferred to. Because it's the only school I ever done any good at. I I was getting all A's. I think I only got about, I think it was one, maybe two B's. And I was going really well, even though I was told all my life that I was no good, I was useless, I was an imbecile, I'll never account to anything, and I'm worthless, useless. And but I actually felt, for the first time, I felt like I really, really fitted in, because I had lots of friends and I was doing quite well in school. And but then my mother decided she's going to move again, and excuse me, we moved back down to where we were previously, and I had to change schools again and go back to where I was. And I thought, why did I put it? Well, I thought to myself, why did I put in all that work to try and achieve something when I've been told I'll never achieve anything? And so I just started playing a dumb cunt again, and I didn't really bother about school. I missed more school than what I was at school. I'd go wag and I'd be off my guts somewhere. But when my mother remarried, I didn't get on with my stepfather at all. One night, after dinner, there was a bit of an argument at the dinner table, and I said something to him as I was doing the dishes, and he came up and punched me in the back of the neck, and I just spun around for carving knife in my hand. I sliced him open, and after that, I spent 6 months in juvie. When I got out, I wasn't allowed to get back to my mother, so I ended up back over in New South Wales with my father, which didn't last very long at all, because I never got on with his wife, well, his new wife or girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, and her kids. And he was still an alcoholic and abusive, so I ended up on the streets of King's Cross in Sydney, and that's where I spent most of my teenage years, from about the age of 13 to about 18, 19. But whilst I was there, I was living on the streets, but I had a very promiscuous lifestyle. It was all about the sex, the drugs, and the alcohol, and I was snorting a lot of coke, smoking a lot of pot. And on my 14th birthday, I got introduced to the needle and heroin, and that was the end of me. I just didn't care about anything else except for the drugs. And that was my life for a lot of years. And when I was 16, me and my partner, we couldn't handle it anymore. We couldn't cope with what we're doing or what was going on around us. And we decided to how do you put it, check out. So we made a suicide pact. And the thing is, he died and I didn't. And that's been haunting me for 40 something years now. How I survived and he didn't. It was very hard on me, and I tried to give up the drugs, and I just couldn't. I give up the alcohol, but my lifestyle changed a little bit because I ended up leaving Sydney and going to another town and trying to get my life on track. I did end up getting married, but that ended up being a mistake, because that caused me a lot more heartache than what I thought it ever would. I do have three wonderful kids that are still alive, but they have nothing to do with me because of their mother. But I did lose a son back in 95, and that's what really destroyed the marriage. Because I just threw myself into work. I was working three full-time jobs. And it was just work and drugs. And that was my life for a long time after my son died. And I just didn't give a fuck about anything else. Then I ended up in Queensland. I was doing a lot of dealing, a lot of running, running drugs between cities, making a lot of money, and although the police knew what I was doing, they could never catch me doing it. So they ended up stitching me up for a crime I didn't commit, and ended up spending 3 years in 3 years in jail for something I didn't do. Got out of jail in October 2008, and I just set out for revenge. For the two guys who made statements against me that actually put me in jail, put me there, and I did get my revenge. As far as I know, that one of them's still in jail at the moment, and but I've done a lot of things in my life I'm ashamed of. A lot of things that I should be held accountable for. Some things I have been held accountable for, and I've managed to get by and get out of it. People I knew, or the money I had. Like I have, I did lose both my parents, only a couple of years apart. And I don't know, but I didn't really feel anything. Because they made my life hell when I was younger. I was only arguing with my sister earlier tonight. I do apologise. I'm not in a really good frame of mind because I was arguing with my sister earlier tonight, something about something that happened years ago. And she's trying to tell me it happened one way, but when she realised that I knew, I remembered exactly how it happened, she got very pissed off and she got very abusive towards me and that was and that was over my parents split up. And when she realised that what I was saying was right, she didn't apologise. She just abused me more and more and ended up hanging up on me. Like I said, I'm not in a very good headspace at the moment, but I just try to do the best I can at the moment. Then after I get out of jail, and I end up back over here in Western Australia, and I was I got introduced to NA and I kept on relapsing and that, but I got 27 months up, my last recovery. And I thought that was really good. But I ended up relapsing because I started helping somebody, helping a newcomer. Got involved with them and ended up relapsing. So I packed my car up and I drove back over to the other side of the country. And I ended up in the town where my son died. But, and I ended up getting really sick and ended up being rushed for open heart surgery. And I could have died. And even though I'd tried to commit suicide quite a few times over my life and I really wanted to die. But when I got sick and I nearly died, it really fucking scared me. It scared me because I thought, what have I done to myself? Because of all the drug use, all the abuse I'd given my body over the years. I was terrified of dying. But I've managed to stay clean. I've managed to stay alive a lot longer than what they said I would. They said I wouldn't probably wouldn't see Christmas 2019, and here it is, the middle of 2023, and I'm going really, really well. My health's going good. I've been taking the program one day at a time, each day as it comes. And that's 1,466 days I've been doing it for one day at a time. And it's 4 years and 4 days clean I've been this time. It's the longest I've ever been able to stay clean my whole entire life. And I just want to say thank you to NA, and thank you to you all for being a part of my recovery. And thanks for asking me to be the speaker tonight, Steve, but yeah, I've just got to leave it there for now.